was going to pick on it. I don't do it so well.
Wow. Ecclesiastes. What do you call it, Kevin? A paradox. The paradox.
Oh, the paradox.
Yeah. The paradox. Man, this is one of those books. The longer you read it, the more dots you see. There are a bunch of paradox in here. And you can park your boat anywhere. And so, but the more you park it, the better it gets. Yep. And so as we are getting into the Word, just to park our dock in one of our boats, one of these docks here, and just glorify God for what He's showing through Solomon, the wisdom that we need for every day. And again, we know him as a man who prayed for wisdom instead of asking for riches and wealth and fame. But God gave him that wisdom and said, since you didn't ask for the rest, I'm going to give you those too. And in that, this book and Proverbs he wrote and talk about thick wisdom. It's greater than I am. Yeah, I guess that's really what it is. I was going over these scriptures and I read them. I looked over and I said, man, how are you going to do this? Read it. And as the Holy Spirit leads, I tried making notes all through the day, and no scribing on paper was worthy to the wisdom that he has in these words. Amen. And so we're picking up in verse 15 because we're in 17:7. We're in chapter 7, verse 15. All things I've seen in the days of my vanity, there is a just man that perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. We could park in one of that dock right there. Look at it just for a second. You always heard that the good die young, right? The folks that are righteous. It seems like if you're really serving and working for the Lord, it seems like it's harder, right? The life is harder. And a wicked man, there's no pain in his death. Well, I looked at Psalm 73 that kind of goes along with this. He says the wicked man is there seems to be no pain in his death. He just lives life and everything seems to go, but I'm walking in righteousness. And it's just hard. And I don't understand these things until I went into the house of the Lord. So when you get into the house of the Lord, all these things start to make sense and they kind of boil down. And that's in Psalm 73. But the wicked man, that prolongs his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? There's a couple of neat things right there, too. If you look at it, be not righteous over much. Don't overly righteous. Romans, I got it in my Bible written, Romans 12 and 3. And if we'll flip over there, that goes right. Don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to think. Right? So this, be not righteous. Oh, I'm in 13:3. I said, that doesn't line up. 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So, looking at those two and tying it back into Ecclesiastes, because the same Spirit wrote them both, right? The same Spirit that was working in John was the same Spirit that was working in Samuel. And so, Solomon. Don't think of yourself over too much. How often do we get caught up in the accolades of man? And you get thinking all puffed up, right? And I praise God that I got a body of Christ here that does not let me get puffed up. Anytime I come, my brother, I'll take that phone and pop that bubble. You know, and my wife, she does it well, right? You know, Pastor, really? Is that what you really think? Is that how you ought to do that kind of stuff? And so, anyhow, we need that working. We have the Word of God here that tells us not to do it, but how much of our flesh always thinks we're right? I think I'm righteous, even when I'm not. I think that I'm right. until I come into the house of the Lord, until I find out what real righteousness means. And then I see that I have come short even of my understanding of what righteousness means. And so here he says, don't think of yourself too much. Don't think that you've ever made it. Even Paul, I think, is writing to the church of Philippi, said, not as if I have made it, but one thing I do is I forget those things which are past, and I press on to the high call of Christ. I'm going to maybe chop that up a little bit. But that was the same thing that he was talking about, right? He was looking, not that I have accomplished what God has sent me here to accomplish, not that I've made it, not that I've made myself perfect, but one thing I do is where I fall short, when I sin, when I give forgiveness, I let that thing pass. I don't dwell on my past. I press forward to the high call of Christ, understanding my frailty and God's righteousness. Again, that song I love so much, God's still working on me. It just took him a week to make the sun and the stars, the moon and all that kind of stuff. How wonderful and patient he must be, because God's still working on me. And in that all those things came to my mind as we're standing here talking about this. Not being over righteousness in my own thoughts. And he says, why shouldest thou, don't be wise in your own thoughts, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Do you know that self-righteousness, vaunting yourself, can actually shorten your life? That's what it says. Why should you destroy yourself? Why should you kill yourself or even destroy your reputation thinking you're always right? Anybody here know somebody like that, that thinks they're always right no matter what the subject is? Always been there, always done it, and I've already come to the conclusion, and my way is perfect all the time, no matter what you think. Anyone know somebody like that besides
me? When they tumble, they get shown up by one of their kids.
Absolutely.
That tumble is hard.
It is. It is. And when that balloon gets popped. But you can destroy your reputation. You know, people that have that attitude that they're always right, they're wise in their own eyes, and you can't really communicate anything to them, then they end up being by themselves. Right? Because you try to talk to them and they already know everything. You try to give them a little bit of what you might think is wisdom or even what the Word of God says. And they just refuse to align with that because they already know the answer. They've just destroyed themselves. You know, they shut their own...
And they may be right, like, a lot of the time, but what's going to... They set themselves up for...
Warfall. Now, again, we looked at it earlier in Ecclesiastes, but the parable to that saying was the one that my grandfather always taught me. It's better to remain silent and appear a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Yes.
Right? And so these people that think they know everything, they're always going like this, talking about stuff. And it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. Like, I'm a floor installer, and I've had people that never install floors try to tell me what I'm doing. Okay, please don't.
Yeah.
Really and truly. I mean, yeah, you know.
I got work to do.
I got work to do. I was working in a lady's house one time, and she came in, and she said, that's not how Bob Vila does it. I said, Bob Vila has never installed a floor in his life, to start with. He doesn't know anything. And if you really want, I'll rent you my tools, and I'll go home, and you can do it. And she didn't come back and say anything else. But... you know, it's those things. I know a lot of people like that, that they know everything, but it just becomes very difficult to communicate with them because they know everything. They think they do, and it destroys themselves. It destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. A lot of things. Verse 17, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God, love that, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Alright? Those two verses tie in together. They're almost like one verse. But, alright, be not over much with, don't allow wickedness to prevail in your life. You know?
Yeah.
We all have wickedness that we have in us, the most inner part of our heart. There's always some things. Don't allow that to grow. Because if you allow that to grow, it'll kill yourself. Go ahead.
We had that meeting there when you weren't here on the Wednesday, and I mentioned how Scripture says it's appointed once for man to die.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that they die once. That doesn't mean that there's a designated time for them to die.
Yes.
I actually thought there was two death dates for an individual.
Amen.
And I think this is one Scripture, and I mentioned it during the time that I was not going to cherry pick Scriptures to support that. I wanted people to search it. But there's being in God's will and outside of God's will.
Yes.
The couple there that made the sale of the property and then lied to the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Those two. They were not in God's will. Here, it says the same thing, 17, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. That is outside of God's will.
Amen.
Why shouldest thou die before thy time? I mean,
right.
You can't even twist it up.
Yeah.
And then there's being in God's will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy there, Old Testament, prayed in God 10 or 15 extra years.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
15 years?
He was a king and he prayed for extra time.
His time was coming to die.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not, he was in God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And so God extended it.
Right.
But there's a lot of Scripture, both Old and, New Testament, where you could, say, hey, am I in God's will or am I not?
Right.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes sense
mm-hmm.
with Scripture. And
I'm not saying to not do your part. The other thing is that I've mentioned it a few times, just to, like what Curtis was saying, when you try to measure how much God loves us,
right.
It's a hard concept to grab onto, the amount of love.
Yes.
The second one is God's sovereignty versus our free will. How do you? Because He is 100% sovereign, but He doesn't take our free will away.
Right.
And so, for someone to say, "Well, God is sovereign, I won't get the vaccine, I won't read my Bible, I won't take any precaution,"
right?
Well, wait,
that's foolish.
Wait a minute. Yeah. So just that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then
sovereignty, your free will. So in that would say that our choices don't mean anything.
Right.
So do whatever you want. Because
that's hyper-Calvinism.
It doesn't mean absolutely anything, as opposed to, hold on. No, I want to be in God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the argument used for if somebody got the mark of the beast, they could still be saved. I had a discussion with somebody that I respect. That loves the Lord.
Right.
And they said, it's possible. It's not likely. I said,
impossible.
How do you get possible out of it? Sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God. God can do anything He wants to do. But I said, He does not go against His word.
Right. Absolutely.
But He's sovereign.
And He holds it above. And it says that whoever takes the mark of the beast
has no part.
So you can't, certain scriptures, you search for the correct interpretation. Proverbs, Psalms, there's a lot of areas where you have to rightly divide. Like what Curtis is doing, going back with other scriptures. But that one is as clear as
clear
you can get. You can't twist it.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked when they said that it's
possible. Well, you'd be surprised that doctrine that's out there, and it comes from dispensationalism, that you can have eternal salvation no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And
they're cherry picking
scriptures.
They'll pick certain scriptures in just a few words, and then they want to build a doctrine on it.
Well, here's a neat one. It says that you should die before your time. All right? So God says that there's an appointed day for a person to die.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm reading or trying to understand here, it looks like God is saying that if you live a certain foolish lifestyle, you may shorten that day hasten that day.
That's exactly right.
You like to drink. drink in excess, right? Well, there's, even if you don't get in a fiery car wreck, right, but your liver will fail, right? You just can't take it, or do silly things. I'm going deaf because I run songs without ear protection, right? You can go blind before your time. I had a piece of metal stick in my eye from splitting a 2x4 holding it open with a screwdriver. That was smart. Yeah. But see, I could have lost my eye before its time, right? And so those type of things, we can actually, God says that I see your death over here. But if you keep living this way, you're going to die here.
Do you know what's comforting in that, really? And I just, you know, I'm just thinking about processing it as you guys are talking. That couple that was murdered, Michael's friend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was killed, and she was being raped, and she got away, and she ran, and she fell on a cliff, and she died. The husband and the son were shot.
Right.
4 years old. Just shot in cold blood to get after the woman. Very hard to mm-hmm. reconcile this. Very, very hard to reconcile. Right? They both,
right.
all of them, born again. Yeah. Not only were they Christians, they were actively serving.
They were missionaries, yeah.
How could this happen? I'm not a big believer in saying why, right? Why,
mm-hmm.
Lord? Because he's
sovereign. Yeah.
But that makes sense that my son had made the comment that where he went
yes.
wasn't wise. Obviously, no one would suggest that they
yes, right.
ask for it or
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, deserved it or anything like that. But what he was saying is, I would never have taken
yes.
my family to that place. It's too isolated
mm-hmm.
and it's around shepherds. But this man had confidence in his relationship with these people that mm-hmm. overshadowed that judgment.
Right.
Well, and it would, and, I mean, in that case, it would have to be, you know, prayerfully considered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did, and I'm not saying they didn't, but did they ask God, God, do you want me to go
right.
there? If God wants you to go there,
yeah, you go.
Right.
He can sovereignly, you know, protect you.
Right.
However, if you're outside of his will and you just go on your own without asking and then something happens,
right.
sure you believed in God. Sure
right.
you thought you were following God, but you didn't ask,
right.
him.
Here's
an example. That fellow who wants to live with the grizzly bears. He went up north and he says, well, I'm going to live with the grizzly bears. I'm going to photograph them. And he says, all of these bears are my friends. That was foolish.
Yeah.
They just waited for the right time to eat,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so you don't go into a wild pack of wolves with a pork chop tied around your neck. It's foolish. You're going to come to your end of days before it's time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of silly things that people do. Cliff diving. Okay?
Yeah.
That's not smart. I mean, let's jump off of a cliff with a kite tied to your back.
But
yeah.
sometimes you will die, like
mm-hmm.
Esther said,
yeah.
if I die, I die.
Right.
I will go do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will go before
yeah.
it. I will petition the king. If I die, I die.
Right.
It didn't mean, you know,
but she was weighing out the, she made a very logical decision, though.
Yeah.
She said, I trust God. The three boys who were going into the fire.
And they say the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that we may perish.
We may perish.
But
I know my God's able to deliver me. But
yes.
if he doesn't,
yes.
know this over.
But the three men didn't have a choice.
Right, yeah, they didn't
have a choice.
Yes,
yeah.
They
sure.
were both. And another scripture, just real quick, it says, honor your father and mother.
Right.
And this is the first commandment with promise. That's right, that your days will be prolonged.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so you look at those things, right? There's some definite things that we can do that shortens our life, right? There are people that die outside of the will of God. There are people that die on the inside of the will of God. Like you were saying, Esther, if he would have killed her, then that would have been, she was doing the will of God to preserve her people, right? If the three Hebrew boys would have died, or Daniel would have been eaten in the lion's den, they were doing God's will. Daniel said, I'm going to pray 3 times a day, regardless of what the king says.
Yep.
Well, you're going to be fed to the lions. Okay, whatever, O king. You know, it doesn't matter to me. If I live through this, I'm still going to pray 3 times a day,
yep.
just like I always did. And so, if they would have died, their time wouldn't have been shorted. That would have been the time that they
yes.
were supposed to die.
Yep.
But if you're evil Knievel and you're jumping 35 cars at a loop, okay, you can shorten your days. You can. It says, be not much over wicked, neither be thou foolish. So there's living wickedly can shorten your days, right? And living foolishly can shorten your days. Why should you die before your time? It is good that thou shouldest not, that thou shouldest take hold of this. Now, he's saying, understand this, grab a hold of it. This is a good saying. This is something that you need to settle in, take a hold of this. Also, from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Alright? If you're living wickedly, you're not fearing God. If you're doing foolish stuff, you're tempting God. You're not fearing God. Alright? So he says, take a hold of this. Fear God.
Don't withdraw.
There you go. Don't tempt the Lord. Right? Even you don't do things that, anyhow, we've talked about that enough. Because right now I have like 50 different scenarios that are running through my mind. The one thing that's key here is fear the Lord. He that feareth the Lord shall come forth of all of them. If you're hanging around foolish people, if you're fearing God, God will see you through that, right? Who here has to?
Amen.
Has a job? You have family members,
yep,
that are just foolish, right? They're, amen. They're smoking dope. They're drinking drugs. They're sleeping around and doing those things. They're just foolish. Now they're your family. You know, when they come around, you've got to hang around. God's going to preserve you through that kind of stuff. And so, foolish people, grab a hold of that. Don't go with them. But there's also, this withdraw not thine hand. Don't withdraw your hand from fearing the Lord. Because when you fear God, you're going to overcome all of that stuff. Esther, she feared God. She went by faith. All right, God held her in his hand. Three Hebrew boys, or children. We call them boys, they're men. The three Hebrew men, right? Daniel. There's case after case after case. The Israelites, when they walk by faith through the Red Sea, right? All those accounts in the Word of God where it took faith to get through. And those who lived foolishly, they didn't make it. The folks who built the furnace and opened the door, he didn't make it. Right? Those guys, they died right there and then. All right, so wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Wisdom. You know that you can be strong just because you're wise. Now, what is wisdom?
Fear of the Lord.
It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Well, knowledge and wisdom are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you can have knowledge of something, but if you don't use your wisdom to obey the knowledge that you have, that's foolish. So, wisdom is the ability to walk in the knowledge that is in the truth of knowledge. Let me say that. To apply it, right?
To walk without withdrawing your hand.
Yes, right.
You stand in that because this is wisdom.
Amen.
Fear the Lord.
And it's stronger than 10 mighty men that are in the city, in a walled city, right? If you're wise, your wisdom, you're walking in the righteousness of God, you're holding on to his integrity, the characteristics of charity, you're living in those. You're wise. You won't be easily bewitched like the Galatians were. Right? We went over that in Galatians and men's group last night.
I was thinking of Gideon.
Yeah, amen. Right.
Slam the, what is it,
break the jugs.
Break the pitchers.
Yeah.
And make all the noise and
yeah, blow the trumpet.
Blow the trumpet. They were mighty men in the city, but.
Yeah. They were
wisdom.
Wisdom.
God gave them direction. And
yeah. When God gives you direction to do something, you can do it if you walk in it, if you trust God enough to do those things. Wendy, you are stronger than 10 mighty men in the city. They're well fortified, but because you have wisdom, the wisdom of God, you are better equipped for whatever may come up. Right? And so, verse 1, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Okay, so there's a couple different things there. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You look at those pieces of scripture right there where it tells you there is none righteous. Verse 20, there is not a just man upon the earth. Yet Solomon was talking about himself too. You know, think about what Solomon did, the things that his father was told not to do. Don't collect a lot of chariots. Don't number your people. Don't gather to yourselves wives from foreign lands. He did all those, right? He did all those. And God allowed him to do it. God even gave him a long life, even though he did it. But, for there is not a just man on the earth. And so even, he's talking about himself there, even in his own life, he knew that he wasn't just. Because he was on the earth when he wrote this book. And so it says there's not a just man on the earth, guess what? There is no human flesh that is justified in and of itself.
This was his last book.
Yeah.
He wrote. This was at the end of his life. After he died, the kingdom split.
Yeah.
It was because of his sin.
Yeah.
And they saw he did.
Yeah. His sin is his father.
This was a really sad, somber. This is a sober mm-hmm. book. He's not happy.
No.
He's writing this. He's looking at his life and he's giving his counsel at the end of his life. Yeah. At the end.
It's like your last will and testament or dying words. You know?
It's not like the Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
It's not like Proverbs.
No. It really isn't. No. So I think Song of Solomon is when he was young and fresh and full of spunk and vinegar, you know?
Yep.
And now he's old and decrepit. He's tried all these things. He said that he's looked into all of these things. Mm-hmm. It's all vanity. He's looked into wealth.
Very,
vanity.
Yeah.
He looked
very
in, yeah.
Sober. Somber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says in 21, also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. Careful what you listen to. Because sometimes you can hear some things that you really don't want to hear. And you know that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's not necessarily true. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words stay with you for a long time. You know, and they cut a little bit deeper than...
The innermost part of your body.
Yeah, to the innermost. Especially if it's somebody you love and care about.
Yeah.
If it's your servant, there's,
yeah.
And he's talking about a relationship. He's not talking about the person you hire to wash your dishes. He's mm-hmm. talking about somebody that you're walking with, that you have a deep relationship with. And if you listen to him, thou hear that you can hear your servant curse thee. I ain't gonna run that horse too far. Verse 22. For all times also thine own heart knoweth that thou self likewise hast cursed others.
Yeah.
All right. Think about this. How often are we told to examine yourself before you look? You've done this very same thing, right? And what's that about gossip? Right? There was an old pastor. Right? And there's a lady or person in his church. I'll call it a person because it may have been a guy. I was told it was a lady. I don't know. I wasn't there. But anyhow, she had taken a little information that she had heard in the gossip sessions at church, and she went and she started spreading it around town. Turns out that it wasn't true. But she had slaughtered that person's reputation because it was a well-known person, and they just came and started doing this stuff. And then after she realized, or the person who gossiped, I keep saying she because that's how I heard the story. It may have not been a girl. This has been done by men also. All right. So the person who was spreading the gossip found out that the gossip wasn't true, but it was too late. It already destroyed that other family's life. Right? They couldn't even stay in the town that they were in. And they came to the pastor and said, how can I fix this? It was Spurgeon. Spurgeon. It was a story that he told. And he took a pillow, and he says, I want you to go outside, and I want you to tear this pillow open. I want you to shake the feathers by hand all over town, and then tomorrow morning go and pick up all of the feathers. She says, you can't do that in the whole way. And that's what Spurgeon said. You can't repair what you've done. You should have not spoken. Because once you started to speak, you cannot get those words back.
Retrieve them. Yeah.
You cannot retrieve them.
You can't unring the bell.
Amen. You can't unring the bell. Ask him, my wife. You can see the joke. And so, yeah, you can't unring the bell. Right? So, in the, as we're looking at this, he says, take no heed of words that are spoken. First, don't worry about what people say about you, especially if you don't know it's true. But oftentimes, verse 1-2, for oft times also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. Wow. All this I proved by wisdom. I say, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search out and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the folly, foolishness, and madness. And I found, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whosoever pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. I read all that because there wasn't like a good sentence right there. Mm-hmm. And so, anyhow, verse 24. Verse 23. All these things have proved by wisdom. So all this stuff that he's talked about so far, he's tested it. He's tried it. I've proved it. I know that these things are true. He is the wisest man on the earth at the time. Right? He knew more than anybody else. And like Kevin said, he's lived these things. He's taught these things. I was speaking to my sweet little granddaughter the other day. They were over at the house. And I was telling her that she had to obey me. Why do I have to obey you? I said, because I'm like five times older than you and I've lived through stuff. Why? Because I said so. Well, what if I don't want to? Doesn't matter. You can't do it. I love her pieces, but she's going to be a handful. How old is she? She's like six. Yeah, I'm looking you right in the face and says, I ain't doing it. Why? She wanted to come in here by herself and walk on the elliptic thing. I said, no, you can't come in there. Well, I don't want you to come with me. Well, you can't go by yourself. Well, why not? There's things that will hurt you in there. So I won't do that. Yes, you will. You will, right? She didn't say, all I said is, no, you can't. Well, I want, you can't. Anyhow, because I'm wise. I've been there. I've been around that boat once or twice. Any of us grandparents or parents know this scenario.
Yep.
And not only in grandparents, but in real life situations with in your job. You've worked longer, right? You train people, and Deb's trained people. And those young whippersnappers that come up. Don't tell me how to scramble an egg. I know how to. No, wait, you're doing it wrong. Take it out of the shell first. Yeah, you can scramble it like this, but it's so much easier if you break the shell. Or Deb telling folks how to do things in the computer world. Or Wendy trying to explain how to show compassion to a family that really doesn't know compassion. You worked in the mail office. I don't know what you did. But yeah, I'm sure that there are people that you've been there for years and these young kids come in and they think they know everything. And they don't even know how to lick a stamp. Because they never had to, because they're all self-stickers now.
Yeah.
They email. They don't even write letters. Anyhow, man, see me chase that horse down the road?
What's that?
See me chase that rabbit down the road? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you shunned.
I did, and Cook too, and they were tasty. You can ask Justin about that. He brought some home. Anyhow, again, back to a 23. All this I've proved by wisdom. That's where I was at. Test by wisdom. after you've lived through some things, you can say, I tried that, I tested that. How do I know that God is faithful? Because he's put me in situations, and I know that he's faithful because of the evidence of his faithfulness. Even in my unfaithfulness, he remained faithful. And I've proved it, I've tested it, and I know that it's true. All these things I've proved by wisdom. And I say, I will be wise, but it was far from me. All right? You know, sometimes we think we know stuff, but it's too far outside of our grasp. Often, and like in Sunday school, we're in some of these discussions about the millennial time. That's outside of my grasp. I mean, that's just that there's too many unknowns to be dogmatic about any part of it, you know. One thing I do know about any of that stuff that's too wise for me to grasp right now, if I walk in the righteousness of God, when that day comes, I'm going to be on his side,
yeah.
Right? I'm going to be with him. I'm going to come with him. I'm going to be raptured by him. Whatever the scenario is.
Let's get that right.
All the rest of it can be all conjecture. None of that really matters. But what I want to make sure is that my life lines up with the words that are on this book, you know, with the spirit that guides me through this book. All the rest of the stuff is neat to talk about, but it's not worth arguing over.
And I think if you know his word,
yes,
and you're walking, you all of a sudden can say, that's here. What that scripture means.
Yes.
And it's encouraging.
Yes.
Yeah,
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Lead you to
yes.
Spirit.
It's like, that makes perfect sense. And that just that confirmation.
Right. Or at one time it was far off from you, you couldn't grasp it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, through discussion, ding, the light goes on. Right? And that happens a lot.
Yep.
You know, here it happens a lot. We're being woke up about a lot of stuff. And that is a great time. Now, verse 24 says, that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. All right, so if you seek the Lord, you'll find it. If you seek foolishness, you'll find it. Right? If you seek wisdom, godly wisdom, you'll find it. But you got to seek it. Do you understand what seeking means? Jesus talked about a couple of parables that the good news of Christ was like this. A woman lost a coin in her house, and she tore out part of the house until she found that penny, right? Or a treasure that's lost in the field, and go back and search until you find it. That is the wisdom that's seeking something. When you know that there's a truth out there and you have a deep desire to find that out, you're willing to put all the other stuff aside. You know, I would rather know the fullness of God than how many stones are in my field, right?
Pearl of a great price.
Pearl of a great price. Amen. That's the picture that I have in my mind. And so, to know wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. All right, now, verse 26, and this is a toughie here, but it's a good one. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands, meaning cuffs that hold your bands, tie you up. Whoso pleases the Lord shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her.
I look at what he was involved in with these pagan
women.
Yeah, and like you say, well, you know, you look at that statement right there, and you go, well, yeah, Solomon, you were the wise man.
Right.
Why were you taking these pagan women into your, you know, your how many?
It was 1,000, right? There was 400 wives and 300 concubines.
Yeah, whatever.
300 and then 700.
300.
Well, how about Samson?
Yeah.
Delilah. Was it Delilah?
Yeah.
It was obvious she wasn't really in his corner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty
the
obvious.
Whole time. Guys are stupid around women. It's not necessarily the woman's fault. I mean,
love is blind.
Love is blind. Lust is stupid. All right? Love is blind. Amen. But lust is stupid. Go ahead.
what we're in. He's saying all this because he's been there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
He knows it.
Yeah.
He can tell people that's
yeah.
where his wisdom's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just something that he has a good idea about. He's experienced it. Yeah, if you have 3 and 7, you got 1,000 women.
He was
serving. I have one.
He was serving their God.
Yeah.
He was serving their God.
Yes. And he was serving. Amen. He was doing all the things. It's wicked. But he says, but if you fear the Lord, you will escape from her. Right? Okay, out of this, what I gather is men are stupid. All right? And especially when it comes to women. There's just something about the smell of a woman. Ask a buck in rut season. Right? Have you ever noticed that? Anybody here hunt?
Oh, I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's definitely a hunter's thing.
This is a hunter's thing. Well, during the rut, the female gives it to estrus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the males smell that, and they do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they do stupid stuff.
They get killed.
They get killed. Yeah.
You're kidding.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get
killed. They get hit by cars.
Mm-hmm.
Their mind is not like normally.
It's like that. They have
trainers.
Normally, you get a buck.
That's right.
Anything over 3.5. Above that, they don't live super long, but you get a 4 or 5.5-year-old buck, you may never even see him. Ever.
Right.
In his whole life, you may never see him. During the rut, bucks are seeing that.
That come out of the deep.
Is it when they're hunting season?
They're chasing
yes.
the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
some of it's later, but they're chasing the girls. They only mate one time a year in the fall time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those bucks are...
you can see two bucks fight to the death over a doe.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah.
Well, we see how many people have been killed over women.
Yeah. Amen.
True.
Guys are really dumb.
But who put Solomon in the
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it is. For a moment.
That which brings down kings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or worse that effect.
Worse that effect.
Yeah. In Proverbs.
And so... Proverbs talks about a lot about that woman and the power that a woman has over a young man, especially a young man. I'm not easily as turned as what I used to be. I'm the old buck now, right? I only kick out for certain times of the year. That's it.
Your mind came back.
Mind came back to me,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Well, I got the one that I needed, and I don't need no more, right? That kind of stuff. But a young man, you know, when he's looking for a mate, he will do the silliest things, right? Things that he knew better than to do, but he'll do it anyhow. Sweetheart, go rob that bank for me. Buy me an engagement ring that is 7 times what you make in a year.
Yeah.
That's foolish. Now, don't get me wrong. Engagement rings are fine. But there's no sense in paying $10,000 when you make $500, right? For a ring that is just a ring with a piece of precious coal on it. Right? It's coal under pressure. All it is, right? And so anyhow, I know though it's the bling bling. We've seen it in weddings. Folks spend tens of thousands of dollars to get married. And, yeah, okay, you don't need all that, you know, you really don't. All you need is a man and woman and, you know, jump over the broomstick.
Have your reception at the fire department.
Yeah, exactly, yes. Nothing wrong with white hops and chili.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But anyhow, you look at this, and as he's saying, a woman's desire, see, I guarantee you, a man in his... That's why men don't plan weddings. Women do. If men was going to plan a wedding, you know, he'd have it out in the woods, you know, close to my fishing rod. So we can fish, right? We can fish before we finish this thing. That type of thing. And you'd spend $5.25, right? It'd be done.
I think Isaac had the idea.
Amen. Yeah. Right. Thank you, do my mom's tent, it's done. We are, that's over. And so, the wedding, the honeymoon, all in one smooth swoop.
All done.
All right, but anyhow, but a lady, you see, that they have these ideas, these fairy
dream
weddings, right? Mm-hmm. I got to have a, when you go to location weddings, what's that called?
Location
weddings. Location weddings, yeah. And so, destination foolishness weddings. And so they spend tens of thousands of dollars for everybody to go to the Cayman Islands or something like that. The justice of the peace, you'll get justice married. And you can have money to pay all your bills off with.
No, it should be
that's
a pastor.
Right. That's
pastor.
Right.
Amen. Right. Well, there's a lot of folks. We're redoing our stuff. And unless you are, we don't marry anybody. Right? If you ain't going to church, if you don't have a desire to follow God, go to the justice of the peace.
Yeah.
Don't come to me because you want to be married by a pastor and live like the devil. Not here. Not with me.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find somebody that'll do it for $175. I'll marry you for free if you're right.
Yeah.
I won't charge you none. But if you're wrong, I won't touch it for $1 million. You know, go see the JP, Justice of the Peace, and they'll take care of it. You can get on a boat and go a mile out in the water and have a captain marry you. I don't care.
But they've actually made it entertainment. Bridezilla.
Yes. Yeah, Bridezilla.
They've actually made these spoiled,
yes,
vain women entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And how nasty it can be. It's crazy.
It really is. And it was never meant to, meant to be this way.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some of these marriages that are like on Long Island, New York City, thousands of dollars. And they'll could be divorced 6 months later.
Yeah. Again, thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah, tens of thousands. But it says right here that it talks about the woman, and if you get caught up with her, she's a snare, she's a net, she's a band to your hands. But whoso pleases God shall escape from her. So, men, honor God first. And if I know this is going over the internet, and I'm probably going to get a lot of folks that hate me because of this, but that's okay. I'd rather be hated by the world and loved by God than loved by the world and hated by God. Love God, please God. Love God, please God. And if your wife will come along beside you for that, you can do, you'll be all right. You really will. God will help you escape from her. But the sinner shall be taken by her. If you're, amen? So there's two sides. There's those paradox we were talking about. You know? Right here, if you love God, you'll be saved. You'll escape from her. But if you're a sinner, you'll be taken by her. Behold, I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. You know? God made you upright.
That's the thing about this book, is you got to ponder.
Yeah.
The wisest man that ever lived.
This is
how he writes stuff here that you have to think
of. Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Separate
inventions.
Jesus, right?
Inventions are man's contrivance.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
the little
things that men think, well, if I do this, then maybe they'll have to.
Conniving.
Do that.
Yeah. They could be called conniving.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead, Brian.
So, one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. This is not God saying
He's
hard to
himself.
Find a devoted woman or a good woman or a holy woman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he looking?
That's right. He was all goes back to the wives.
Right.
There you go.
People
look
back to him. And
where
was he looking?
Absolutely.
What's that country western song? I'm looking for love
in all
the wrong
ways.
That came from Solomon. Absolutely. You're right. And it is his personal experience. And so I tried all the Egyptian dive bars and all these other folks that came along. You know, I got all the pretty ones and none of the women filled with wisdom, yep. Right?
It wasn't Ruth.
It wasn't Ruth, yeah, right.
It wasn't Hannah.
No.
It wasn't Abigail.
No. Well, Esther was the best of both worlds.
Where he was.
Yeah.
You know, where he came out of.
I just wanted to point
that. Yeah, amen. And you're right. That's a good point. Yeah. And it had come from a woman.
It wasn't Esther.
It, there you go.
Yeah.
And so, thank you guys for helping with this Bible study. All these things were inside, but you see what I mean? You couldn't write this down.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't put this on paper, yeah. Right? Because there's too many variables in it to write any one coherent thought down that would touch any part of that. But we have the Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
And through the Spirit of God, He wove this Bible study.
I love this book.
Hey, I did too. Yeah. It's a wonderful study.
Yeah.
And when you take it small, and I've been reading through it like every day. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I just had a real quick one. I just wanted to say what I had mentioned earlier about the death date. I didn't think of that, and I'm not picking anything off of me, but I'm not also adding anything. I never had that thought. I mean, I've seen a lot of people die,
right.
And after coming, you know, to the good Lord, there's only two places. And then you continue to read, and it talks about, you know, being in His will. But it was God that said that to me and enlightened me. I wasn't out searching for that. And then reading through the scripture, I would cross, you know, different accounts and then different verses. And it was like that thought of the two dates, right, in His will and outside. And when I would cross that scripture, I would grab that scripture. And if there's only two places for it to go, there's only two places.
Yeah.
So when I cross the scripture, boom,
right.
In His will or not in His will.
Right.
They had a calendar of two women. And then like here, so, you know, boom, not in His will about this time.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Now,
thank God. Praise God.
And so let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, okay? Fear God.
There you go.
Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. Right? This is... if anybody ever wonders, why am I here? That's the scripture you bring them to. That's the end of the Ecclesiastes, 12:13. All right? And so put that on your mirror. It's the conclusion of the whole matter. All this stuff that's going on around the whole world right now, all these crazy things, China's gonna nuke us, Russia, Ukraine, Afghanistan, all these crazy things that are happening. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Right. Follow His commandments and don't sweat the small stuff. Let me, a nuclear explosion is a small thing. It really is. It's nothing to worry about.
It's not knowing where you're going.
That's the kicker. That's the dime in the bottom of the bucket right there. Yeah, where are you going? And so, who wants to close the prayer? Nope,
let's go. I have nothing for Gayla.
Oh, good.
I'm going to stop the recording.
Square one?
Yeah.